Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years, we've been asking the franchipreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with the franchise king, Joel Lavava. And Joel is an author of A Brutally Honest Entrepreneur Hyper-Focused on Marketing Sure That Prospective Franchise Owners Don't Lose Their Money. And today we're going to talk to Joel about his most recent book, Becoming a Franchise Owner. And that's coming up on Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years, we've been asking the franchipreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, doing fine this week, Marty. How about you? Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays, too. I realize we can start saying that, right? And we can start playing the holiday music and all that other stuff. So, yeah, absolutely. It's going by fast. Our last show, Don, God, there's so much to talk about since our last show, right? I think we're still talking about it.
Right.
Our 250th show, five-year anniversary, and I've got to get used to saying for over 5 years we've been asking the franchipreneurs who own one. It's going to take a while. But, God, there's just so many things to talk about. I don't know where to begin. I guess we started with the Cafe to You franchise opportunity, and I told you this was definitely one of my favorite shows in 5 years because it was just we seemed to cover so many different topics. We had a fairly new franchise concept in America anyway. Not new. I mean, they started in Australia. And just like those guys, I thought they had an interesting concept. What did you think?
I like that, you know, that we're presenting, newer type concept, mm-hmm. a new franchise to the U.S., and something that's a low investment size, because that,
yeah.
you know, during tougher times, people don't have, you know, maybe as much in the past to put towards a franchise, so sometimes they
mm-hmm.
look towards a franchise that's under, say, $100,000. And there's a lot
yeah.
of nice franchises where, you know, it's not only because it's a lower investment size will dictate how much you can make. Sometimes a franchise that's a $30,000 to $50,000 investment end up doing three times as well as something that initially cost $200,000 or $300,000. So you shouldn't always
right,
look
absolutely.
At the cost to determine what your business plan and projections and what you can build the company into. But you're right about being a diversified show with a franchise concept, mm-hmm. having a veteran on who's very successful in franchising, and then of course having the
Steve Calviera,
CEO president of the IFA. So,
right.
couldn't have had someone on who, you know, knew more about every single aspect and a statistic, and you know, everything you know going on through government. It was pretty impressive. Everything he. He was just on top of everything, which I guess is part of his job,
yeah.
to know everything
right.
from, you know, the goal with to get more veterans into the franchise industry and all the legwork they're doing to try to, you know, increase financing and improve that in our country, because that's what's mostly helping or hurting expansion and
mm-hmm.
new franchise systems forming, franchisors adding new franchisees, existing franchisees who are expanding. It's a domino effect all
right.
down the board, and you know we need someone out there fighting like Steve to make all this happen.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to have him back on the show because unfortunately there wasn't, you know, we didn't get to, you know, half the questions that we wanted to ask him, you know. So I anticipate having him back in 2012. He already agreed to coming back on the show. It sounded like he had a really good time, you know. And yeah, you're right about the having the Marine on. Sean Folk was his name.
Right.
On. And he's a very successful franchisee. I think he's up to 10 franchise businesses up to this point. And, you know, he kind of, you know, we've been talking about this topic for a long time, but he said that, you know, the military is really a great place for training for franchising, you know, following a system. You know,
right.
and that's what a lot of the franchisers that come on the show, you know, they all seem to emphasize the same thing is, you know, say you don't really have to have experience in this or that, you know, but you do have to have the ability of following a system, you know. And the guest that we're having on today, Joel LaBava, he's very big on that too. He'll tell you a lot of times that, you know, franchising isn't for probably for most people, I've heard him say in the past, you know. So
right.
we're going to be talking about that later on as well. Joel is a big franchise author now, Become a Franchise Owner, Wiley Publishing. And in my world, Don, Wiley Publishing is really a big deal, you know. It's I hope to get a deal from those guys one day as well, you know. So we'll be talking to him about that as well. So
yeah, a lot more and more franchise books out there, but, you know, like with any industry, you know, only some are quality written. From people
yes.
who've been in the industry a long time, so you know, Joel.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure Joel put together a top quality you know publication and great and great reference book for anybody considering franchising.
It's a brutally honest book. I mean, I started reading. I didn't, of course, get through the whole book, you know. But it is. It's a brutally honest book, and you know, I've been waiting for, you know, for someone like Joel to write a book. I mean, I think that's what, you know, the franchise community needs. It's definitely different from anything else that's out there, you know. So
yeah. Well, we've been very careful over the years to tell people. We, you know, probably you or I say it at least every other show we do. With franchising is. You know, is not for everybody. Joel says it's really not for most people.
Exactly.
And,
which is
you know, cool. yeah, I mean, you really have to do a full assessment that you should really take a lot of time to see if you're going to be happy owning a franchise where you're really not 100% truly your own boss. And you, and,
right.
and you have to decide whether, well, you know, do you want to come across, you know, a lot of people and the business? Are you more a behind-the-scenes guy? What type of hours? Do you want to work weekends? You know, you're gonna, if you have some type of service, emergency service, where you're called, you know, 1 in the morning, there's just so much to consider. You know, you're signing a contract for that franchise relationship. You just better be careful what you do There's so many success stories, but then there's some stories maybe Joel will go over of people probably shouldn't have gotten into franchising.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty much seen it all. But, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, and it's a big contract, isn't it, Don? I mean, you know, 10 years is I think, is a typical franchise agreement. I mean, that's a long time if you think about it. I mean, we've
right.
been doing the show 5 years, right? I mean,
right.
my God, that's a long time for you and I to be, you know, we know each other a long time, but working with each other, you know? And
right.
See, it's a good thing that we like each other, because imagine if we didn't, you know, working with someone like me or me working with someone like you for another 5 years.
I couldn't imagine another ten,
you know,
5 years you and I just
another 5 years
for the record.
With each other, right? Off the record, right on air. But no, it's true. It's really a big thing. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, we've gone as far as, you know, comparing it to a marriage. And, you know, I mean, the one thing that I learned, though, of course, is that, you know, in the marriage, though, it's not a 50-50 thing. I mean, the franchisor, at the end of the day, I mean, they ultimately have the final word, don't they? You
right.
know? So, I mean, if you don't like, you know, or disagree with the franchise, that's too bad. You know, I mean, the franchise is going to have the final say at the end of the day. So it's not a 50-50 partnership. Kind
right.
of a deal. So that's important.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the creative entrepreneurial type and you want to put together you thought of this great idea for marketing and and the franchisor says no. And
yeah.
But then the other side of the coin, a lot of people invest in a franchise and they don't want to have to do any of that. They don't care. Hey,
yeah.
you know, tell me what to do. You know, what are the marketing pieces I got to send out? How do I market? How do I advertise? Train me. Just tell me what I have to do. Follow the system.
Exactly, kind of like the military, right? You know, as someone was talking last week, he said, you know, that's the, you know, what makes it a really good match between the military and franchising, you know, and you know, 80 hours a week, that's nothing, you know, compared to the military, as far as, you know, particularly what our veterans have been through, you know, you look at the last, you know, 10 years,
right.
running a franchise is probably nothing to them, you know, so. And the ability to follow rules and methods, and they like that. That's you know how they work. So yeah, and it was interesting as you were, you know, talking about franchising. It always reminds me, and I always go back to our archives of Liberty Tax, and I always remember their most successful franchisee kind of said it the way you said it is. He wasn't creative. He didn't want to reinvent the wheel. He said, "Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it." And that's what John Hewitt asked him at the, I guess, like Liberty Tax meeting or some award or something like that. He said, you know, how did you become so successful? He said, I just did what you told me to do, and that was it.
I mean, right.
So that goes to show you the importance of following the system to not decipher, you know, or fall off track, you know, by any means. Is follow the system is
right.
so important. Now, there are franchises out there. I was listening to one of our earlier shows, Action International. And I remember David Levine, because they were from Australia, saying that that particular franchise was a little different because they allowed their franchisees to be entrepreneurial.
Right. Now called Action Coach,
creative.
By the way. They're Action Coach.
Action Coach,
yeah.
That's right, yeah. So that's interesting. There are some concepts out there that do allow you, I think, a little more flexibility than, let's say, a KFC or a McDonald's or a Subway, which is probably no flexibility whatsoever, where maybe I think like the smaller type of franchise operations, Don, or maybe the newer
right.
franchise operations, I think they're a little more open to sometimes suggestions from their franchisees, you know. So,
right. 'Cause sometimes, in a way,
yeah.
they're still developing. They'll welcome, you know, creative ideas to,
exactly.
to help their system.
Exactly, absolutely. So, yeah, so we got Joel coming up, the Franchise King, and in probably like about like 10 minutes he's going to be calling in. And I know you had an interesting article that we wanted to
yeah.
discuss as well.
Written by George Will, Washington Post, you know, well-known writer. The article name is Choking on Obamacare. In 1941, Carl Karcher was a 24-year-old truck driver for a bakery. Impressed by the large number of buns he was delivering, he scrounged up $326 to buy a hot dog cart across from a Goodyear plant. Then the war came, and then so did millions of defense industry workers and their cars, and soon Southern California's contribution to American cuisine, fast food, including eventually hundreds of Carl's Jr. restaurants. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago, but his legacy, CKE Restaurants, which is Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, survives. It would thrive, says CEO Andy Puzder, but for government comprehensive campaign against job creation. CKE, Marty, has more than 3,200 restaurants, has created 70,000 jobs, and that's 21,000 directly and 49,000 with franchisees. The growth of those numbers will be inhibited by, among many government measures, Obamacare. When CKE's healthcare advisor, citing Obamacare's complexities and uncertainties, said that it would add between 7.3 and 35 point million to the company's 12 million healthcare cost in 2010. Puzder said, I need a number I can plan with. They guessed about 18 million, twice what CKE spent last year building new restaurants. Obamacare must mean fewer restaurants. So, a negative but realistic type article so far. And I guess another reason, Marty, why there's not more expansion with business or more risk-taking because of so much uncertainty with the economy, with health care, with cost in general. You know, business owners don't like to plan ahead, because planning ahead usually means planning overhead and cost when you don't know about certain costs, especially in some high-end aspects of your business with certain expenses.
Exactly.
It goes on, and therefore
yeah.
fewer jobs. Each restaurant creates, on average, 25 jobs and as much as 3.5
wow.
times the number of jobs in the community. CKE spends about $1 billion a year on food and paper products, $175 million in advertising, and $33
wow.
million on maintenance. The CEO wow. laughs about the liberal theory that businesses are not investing because they want to punish Obama. Rising health care costs, he says, just one uncertainty inhibiting expansion. Others are government policies on raising fuel costs, which infect everything from air conditioning to the cost of deliveries of supplies, and the threat that the National Labor Relations Board will use regulations to impose something like card check in place of secret ballot unionization elections. I've only read
like
part of the article so far, but, you know, scary
yeah.
in that here's a company that can have potentially hundreds, if not thousands, of more jobs with
mm-hmm.
additional restaurants that they or their franchisees build, but they don't because of uncertainty. It's really a shame.
Right.
I would think our leadership would want to spell out and make business owners feel comfortable in certain areas. It's just crazy, the thinking that goes on, and at the expense. So the biggest problem is unemployment, and this is one
mm-hmm.
reason why that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, franchising affects everything, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like all these things that, you know, we've been talking about. I think, I'm not sure if Steve actually used the word, but it seems like it's like this anti-business environment, you know, that's going on right now, doesn't it? I mean, it seems
right.
like they're just putting the handcuffs on. And again, not just going after franchising, but, I mean, just business in general. I was writing an article about this particular topic, and I just pulled it up as well and mentioned the name. So you said Andrew Puster, CEO to Carl's Jr. CKE Restaurants, appeared in a recent commercial, suggests healthcare is currently the most significant unknown factor facing their business. A consultant for CKE Restaurants estimated a new healthcare cost could increase anywhere from, I think the numbers you were referencing, $7.3 million to $35.1 million. Economist Bill Watkins suggests it's a bit harder for small businesses to expand today. And again, this is from CNN. Let's see, Andrew Puster, CEO of Carl's Jr., blah, 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 blah. Let's see, Liberto suggests the question of how much uncertainty new regulation evokes is a sensitive one in Washington, D.C., which is engaging in its own attack on bureaucratic red tape. Martin Regales, the Chamber of Commerce chief, suggests much of this uncertainty, believes this is part of what many individuals are reluctant to take on. You see, you're right, that uncertainty, that risk, you know, I mean, who wants to chance it, right? I mean, if you don't know for sure
right.
what's going to happen.
Yeah, I have to read on here more. There's so much more interesting stuff here. It says CK has about 720 California restaurants in which 84% of the managers are minorities. 67% are women. CK has, however, all but stopped building restaurants in the state because approvals and permits for establishing them can take up to 2 years, compared to as little as 6 weeks in Texas. And the cost to build one is $100,000 more than in Texas, where CK is planned to open 300 new restaurants this decade. CK
wow.
restaurants have 95% employee turnover in a year, not bad in this industry. That's an amazing number, 95% employee turnover. And the healthcare benefits under CKE's current mini-med plans are capped in a way that makes them illegal under Obamacare. So CKE will have to convert many full-time employees to part-timers to limit the growth of its burdens under Obamacare. In an economic climate of increasing uncertainties, Puzder says, one certainty is that many businesses now marginally profitable will disappear when Obamacare causes that margin to disappear. A second certainty is that employers everywhere will be looking to reduce labor content in their business models as Obamacare makes employees more expensive. According to the U.S. SBA, by 2008, the cost of federal regulations had reached $1.75 trillion. That was 14% of national income unavailable for job-creating investments. And this one last thing I'll say. It says 70 years ago, the local health department complained that Karcher's hot dog cart had no restroom facilities. This is the guy who was a truck driver for a bakery, right, and he saw the product going out, so he opened up a hot dog stand across from a Goodyear plant. So the local health department said he didn't have any restroom facilities. He got help from a nearby gas station. A state agency made him pay $15 for workers' compensation insurance. Another agency said that he owed more than the $326 cost of the cart in back sales taxes. For $100, a lawyer successfully argued that Karcher did not because his customers ate their hot dogs off the premises.
Could you imagine? I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? And we've been talking about this week after week after week, you know, and I guess this is part of Steve Caldera's job, isn't it, is
to fight all this regulation, to fight all this government stifleization, if that's a word, on businesses. It's just, there's just so, you know, we can go on and on, you know, when families have built up their businesses for decades and I guess there's, estate taxes, and they're so high that people have to sell the business. It's all really, you know, messed up thinking. It's our country was built, yeah, the founding fathers, on less government, less spending, less regulation, entrepreneurship, risk taking, building a business, and keeping most of what you make, because keeping it will mean they're going to expand and hire more people, and it's just
right. What do you think about having a franchisee for president? Didn't you read an article about that?
Well, that was, that's Kane, I guess, who's put his onward march,
right,
on hold because of some personal issues.
Yeah. That's something. Why don't we do this then? I Syracuse Joel has called in, so let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews, and we'll have to continue this conversation next week.
Yes.
Big Mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with the franchise king, Joel Lababa. And Joel is an author and a brutally honest entrepreneur, hyper-focused on making sure that prospective franchise owners don't lose their money. And today we're talking to Joel about his recent book, Become a Franchise Owner. Hey, Joel, how you doing? Welcome back.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great, Joel. It's great to have you back on the show. And I think you remember my co-host, Don Johnson. Right, Don?
Yeah. Hey, Joel.
Hi, Don.
Happy holidays. You know, Marty and I are thinking of calling ourselves the Franchise Radio Kings. Would that be infringing on your name?
Yes, it would.
Okay, forget it then. We won't use it.
Well, Joel, I say to you yesterday, you know, you're the only person we've asked to come back on our show 3 times, so you know we're fans.
Man.
The only reason we don't like having you on the show is because you have a better radio voice than we do. So
that's
the problem. And I know you have a background in radio, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do, from way back when.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you have a great past. I want to congratulate you on the new book, Become a Franchise Owner. You know, I'm a university professor, Joel, and in our world, I mean, Wiley Publishing, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool when they called me and actually got an email from one of the editors who, interestingly enough, read a review that I did of a book. And she called
me
and she said, you know, it's overdue, man. I like your platform.
Yeah.
I like what you have to say. And let's do a deal.
I agree.
What was it, Joel, that you think stuck in their mind, or maybe it was something specific that you put in there? I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of books on franchising. What do you think why they wanted you to write it?
I think they felt that I was really, really, or I am really, really straightforward, and that I'm not shy, and that you know, people are hurting now, and.
Yeah.
I want them to be careful, and I think the folks at Wiley are also, you know, in favor of that, of, you know, helping readers do the right thing.
Right.
Yeah, this book is definitely different, Joel, than anything that's out there. I think Don and I have probably, what'd you say, Don, we've probably read all the franchise books, and I haven't gotten through the whole book yet, but it really is fantastic. I mean, I like how you use examples and things like that, you know, from different people. And did you learn anything when you were writing the book? I know for me, I do a lot of writing as well, and I always seem to learn something when I'm writing. Did you learn anything in writing this book?
I learned something about writing, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been writing online for 6 years now.
I know
you
have, because I've been following, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, a lot of places. And what I learned was that 2- and 3-sentence things kind of turn into massive amounts of paragraphs. They just grow and grow. And it was really weird because when I talked to the editors, I said, "You want how many words?" I said, "There's no way I'll be able to do that." And,
exactly.
And she told me, she said, "You know what? You'll see." So it ended up being more words than I actually contracted for. So that was kind of cool. It just kind of starts exploding once you get going.
That's fantastic. And I know you've been doing a lot of promotion for the book as well. You were recently, you were in New York, weren't you, Joel?
Yeah, I was in New York City at the Small Business Expo there, and I did a seminar, and it was pretty cool. About 10,000 people came through the doors.
That's fantastic. I know Don and I wanted to meet you there, you know, but we didn't get over there. But it would have been fantastic to finally get to meet you face-to-face. Everyone calls you the Franchise King, and I know a lot of our listeners are saying, well, how did he become the Franchise King? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. For those people that know me, they know that it's not about ego. The real story is actually pretty darn exciting. Not at all, actually. I went into an exhibit hall at one of the local chambers of commerce for an expo several years ago, and the director of the chamber, who knows me, from across the room yells out at full volume, "Hey, it's the Franchise King." What? Who, me? And it stuck. And then a local Cleveland friend of mine, Jim Kukrul, who's a great internet marketer, hammered on me to get that thing trademarked, which I did. So that's how it came about. How exciting.
That's great.
And I always enjoy just, you know, people being honest. It'd be very easy to write a franchise book and everything is great and you're going to make a lot of money and, you know, this and that. Marty and I, you know, are always stressing that, you know, that franchising is not for everybody. I got to do a lot of due diligence. In any industry, there's some bad people in there. There's some bad franchise systems.
That's right.
And, of course, there's a lot of potential franchise owners and many franchise professionals listening right now. Joe, what were some of the things that upset the franchise community a little bit that was in the book?
Well, before I share that, I wanted to thank you because I was listening to the show when you guys came on the air. And I don't know if it was Don or you, Marty, that said, man, I've been waiting for a book like this.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, first of all, thank you. And second of all, I think it takes a lot of courage to say what you said because, you know, one week you have the president of the IFA on, and the next week you have me, who's obviously not an IFA member and who's not shy about kind of hammering on them sometimes.
Right, right.
And I really appreciate it because you guys get it. You know,
right.
It's okay to share an opinion. It's okay to state facts. It's okay to tell people that, you know what, the business model of franchising may be the best ever, but it is risky, just like anything. So I just wanted to thank you, and I really appreciate you saying that. That means a lot coming from my peers.
Thank you.
Same here.
Yeah. It means a lot you saying that,
The things that may upset some of the franchise industry folks, I disclose some earnings that some of the brokers make. I used to be a franchise broker, as you know. I'm not anymore. I'm a recovering franchise broker. And I'm an advisor. I know this sounds really strange, but I actually ask people to pay me for my expertise, and then I show them how to choose, how to research franchises, how to get all the information they need, and then I do not point them to any specific franchisors for hope of a commission. So there's nothing wrong with franchise brokerage. I liked it, but I thought that it was important for me to position myself differently. So one of the things I do is I have a whole chapter talking about, you know, asking the question, so what are those free franchise consultations really about? And I disclose some earnings that brokers make. So that's one thing. And I also, you know, talk about some of the marketing tactics that are still used, and they seem like they're 25 years old already, you know? The business in a box and turnkey operation.
Yes.
And you know what, guys? I was, I don't know what I was on Google for, but I was searching for something, and I found within 60 seconds, I found a website that a franchise broker, a new one obviously, had set up, who is still using the 95% of all franchises are successful.
Wow.
Which IFA wrote a letter about saying, you can't do that, guys. So that's the kind of stuff that really upsets me.
Yeah.
So I point stuff like that out.
As you probably know, Joel, I'm in the franchise financing world, doing it for 13 years, and we're always tracking the default rates and especially through SBA.
Right.
And I think at least doubled. I think maybe even tripled the default rate. Now that's not a number overall for that franchise system. If they're saying, hey, 8% of franchisees aren't successful with a particular franchise, for example,
right.
Maybe it was only 3 a year before. But and a lot of that has to do with these economic times these last few years, but it also has to do with the franchise system. So it's just scary stuff. Even more reason to be careful when you're making the investment. Do your due diligence. Marty and I always stress that. Do you think it's good that, yesterday I took a call from a franchise consulting company that, that they're going to specialize, and one of their main jobs is just putting new franchise businesses to franchise their concept. And say on a yearly basis, 200 new companies are becoming franchise systems. Do you think that's good for the franchise industry that so many new franchise systems are starting up, and we're already at, close to 4,000?
It's always good for the industry as long as the concepts are really, really ready for, franchise prime time.
Right.
You and I know the names, and we won't say them, I won't say them,
mm-hmm.
of the franchise development companies that, you guys, you gals, you have an unbelievable concept. Man, you should definitely franchise this thing. We can help you. As a matter of fact, we'll even help you sell the first few. And what happens is, if it's not a concept that was really ready for prime time,
right.
Yeah, they help them sell one or two, and then it's over a year later. So that's the stuff that the people that I refer, the franchise development professionals that I refer people to that call me, are the ones that have the courage to say, you know what? A, you're not ready to do this yet. B,
mm-hmm.
you probably shouldn't even turn this into a franchise, I don't need the $50,000 or the $100,000 that bad. But unfortunately, when times are even tougher, like now, there are some franchise development consultants that will talk people into doing things. Whenever there's money on the table, guys, I mean,
mm-hmm.
stuff happens.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to change the franchise world in my own way, as only, one person can. And I'm just trying to help this new transparency thing happen more. I'm trying to kind of wake people up and make them think with their head a little before they think with their gut. And it's just, it's a little convoluted. Before you go on, I need to disclose something. You guys mentioned, the SBA default rates and stuff. I need to disclose that I do write for SBA.gov. So I just wanted to
mm-hmm.
make sure that we're on the up and up.
Absolutely.
And there's a big difference, Joel. And then you mentioned franchise experts versus franchise brokers. And we spoke about that a lot, Don, over the last, 5 years. I remember, it's funny, as Joel was talking, I don't know if you know the name Nick Bibby, but that's the one that rang
yeah.
a bell too, Joel. Is Nick
was,
and I
have a lot
on,
in common.
I think everybody probably in the franchise world anyway.
Yeah, Nick and I are very similar. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's who I thought of, as you were mentioning that. And, he had pretty much very similar philosophies as far as
right.
brokers and experts. And again, I think, to pat ourselves on the back, we've done that very well as we try to tell a full side of the story.
You do.
Do mention, that franchise brokers, sometimes they do steer you towards who's ever, of course, in their portfolio. And I think it's important
sure they
that
do.
People do know that because,
sure.
they want to get paid too, So,
yeah.
I mean, you've been doing this such a long time now, and again, not to date you or make you, feel old, but, I mean, what changes have you seen, Joel, from, guess when you first got into this to, where we are today, what are some of the biggest changes, in franchising?
When I started almost 12 years ago with my late
mm-hmm.
father, he, I started in his office with him, and it's so funny. The internet and email 12 years ago was just
yeah.
getting kind of more common.
That's right, it was. Yeah,
you guys,
12 years ago it was,
You're going to laugh at this. I mean, you might have experienced it too. When I used to fire up my dad's computer to get on email, which I had no idea what email was, I'm not kidding, it took 20 minutes between all the beeps and the weird noises and stuff to even get online.
Right.
I had no idea
what
email was. I had no idea what the www internet. So the biggest change, obviously, is that the internet has really changed everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people like Jeff Elgin from Franchoice, who was really the first one to realize that the internet is going to be the way that people are going to get leads. He was really the first one to jump on it. So
yeah.
That's the biggest change. The second one would be business transparency, social media stuff. There's no secrets anymore. There's
true.
No secrets. I mean, look at the political stuff going on with the
right.
Republican Party and their
yes.
candidates. There are no
yeah.
secrets. Why do people think they're going to get away with something nowadays? So,
exactly.
so that's huge. That's huge. And the third thing, you know, I was a member of the IFA because I was with Franet, but I never went to an IFA, you know, like get-together, even though I wanted to. And I'm not a member now, obviously. And
yeah.
I see the IFA as a really changed organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they have turned into Washington lobbyists.
Right.
And I don't know if it's to the betterment of the industry or not, but it's obvious what's going on with which side they're leaning towards. And if you're on the other side of the political spectrum and you're a franchisor and you're paying thousands
right.
of dollars to be in that association, you know, what do you do? I mean, if you don't believe in their philosophies because they're leaning a certain way, you stay in.
Right.
I mean, so it's really convoluted. And once again, social media has opened up the floodgates for information like that. So that's a real big change. It's a lot easier to find out information. You know, you don't have to go to the library anymore, guys.
Right.
True.
It's all there.
True.
It's all there. So those are the biggest changes that I've seen.
And just the number of industries,
too.
The number of franchise systems, Joel, the number of, I mean, just about anything could be franchised. Marty, we've kidded a lot about,
mm-hmm.
You know, what's that franchise that scoops up dog poop?
Oh.
Yeah, just about anything.
I was just thinking about that.
I think it was called
Duty
Calls. I think I remember talking about them on the show once. Yeah, but Duty
what
Calls.
Is the deal?
I mean, it's great for people to have choices,
but
it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's so much in-depth, you know, self-analysis you have to do, to so much due diligence, so many
that's
choices,
right.
and get to be confusing. I guess that's what you have to decide. You know, do you want to go with the big name franchise that everybody knows? Or
right.
you want to go with a newer system? Maybe you can buy a larger territory, and
that's
you know,
right.
and you can be the one that can really get that franchise system well known in a certain state or area. It's a lot to go by. I think the bottom line is you have to not make quick decisions. So you like it that there's a lot of new franchise systems, a lot of decisions, a lot of these yogurt franchises are coming across the country, I guess.
I know.
I mean, that's the American way, I guess, when something becomes popular. Like a few years back,
yeah.
remember those eBay franchises? And
that's
I don't know
right.
the status
mm-hmm.
of them.
Right.
I don't think most of them made it. It's
no.
You have to be smart when you think something could be trendy and maybe
well,
not
yeah,
long
but
term.
There was never enough margin to begin with. Those businesses never should have been franchised.
Right.
I mean, it was stupid.
Yeah.
There was never enough
right.
margin. How are you going to make money on $6 every transaction? Hello?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, times
are you surprised,
30 transactions
Joel,
a day. You know.
Are you surprised, Joel, at the number of burger franchises that have popped up since we last spoke to you? I mean, it was one of the things Don
yeah.
and I talked about a couple shows
yeah,
ago.
But you know
it
what?
Really is amazing.
They're quality. They're real quality.
Oh,
ones.
Yeah.
I mean, Five Guys, it's a fantastic
yeah.
product.
Right.
I've heard about them. Yeah, I haven't tried them yet, but I heard
they're
their
great.
Burgers are amazing. Yeah.
They're great
it's
burgers.
Like it's no surprise, yeah.
Right. It's not cheap. I mean, it's, you know, it's $9
it's not, right.
for lunch.
Right.
10
yeah.
bucks. But good quality, nice operation. You can tell that they have it together. That's why they're
yeah.
successful.
Right.
Exactly.
It's all in the management,
yeah.
knowing the top people.
That's right.
How come you think that there hasn't been more attendance, for years, you know, our company's been exhibiting at trade shows. But a lot of the trade mm-hmm. show, the numbers are down. That's why the IFE has to change. They're going to be in New York this next spring. And I've seen firsthand, always kind of shocked with the number of people out of work,
mm-hmm.
with the popularity of franchising. How do you think, why do you think that the trade shows are just one aspect, it's not done well?
Well, I can share with you from a customer side as an exhibitor and also as a customer. You know, These guys are crushing people with the amount of money they're charging to have one little table. That's the first thing. And the second thing is they're not very good at promotion. I don't think they are. I mean, they're good in the franchise community with promotion,
right?
But not outside. I just don't see them being that good. And from a customer perspective, hello, let's see. It's December 8th in Cleveland, Ohio. Even though there's no snow on the ground, it's a little cold out there. I think I'm just going to grab a cup of coffee, put my shoes up, and Google franchise opportunities.
Right.
Because
right.
I can see everything I need to see.
Right.
That's why.
That's true.
That's really the bottom line. It's just too easy. Everything is virtual, and it's just too easy. I happen to like the shows. They're pretty good. But what's happened is, and it's pretty obvious, the last show I was at, I would say that 40% of the things there were business opportunities. They weren't even franchises.
Right.
Wow. And why do you think that is, guys?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because the business opportunities wrote the checks. So it's about money.
Right.
You know, those were the people that were willing to exhibit.
Wow.
You know,
getting back to your book a little bit, why is it important for future franchise owners to buy your book, Joel?
Because I show them exactly, chapter through chapter, what to do, how to select, how to research, how to get to that place where they have to say yes or no, safely, systematically. I show the good and the bad. There's no tricks. I don't spin anything. And I make sure that people start with themselves instead of start with looking at advertisements, you know. A lot of people are attracted to franchises that are the latest, hottest, greatest things, but they don't even know if they're qualified, A, financially, and B, they don't even know what their role would be as the franchisee. They think they know what it is, but they're not sure, so they jump ahead of themselves. Before they know it, they're 3 weeks in, they've gotten a brochure sent to them, they've been online, they've had three conversations with the franchise development representative, and they're like, oh, this is for me. Huh?
Right. Exactly. I love how you start off with James Pennington. You know, I don't want to say too much about it because, of course, I want our readers to buy it. But I thought that was fantastic how you started off, you know, with that particular story because it was just it really puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. James didn't know how to buy a franchise. He only thought he did. You know, and it was a sad story, but. You know, the readers will see it. Hey, if you guys want to give away a book, give away a book.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give away books to the listeners.
Well,
the quotes, by the way, that you use too are fantastic. I mean, John Luther, you know, Warren Buffett. I like how you start off with those too. It's a great way. Like for example, chapter one: learn from the mistakes of others. You can never live long enough to make them all yourself. By John Luther. I thought that was fantastic. A great way to start off the book as well. And also, you know, on a personal, how you dedicated the book to your father. I know your dad was a very big. Influence on your life, you know, and the conversations that I've had with you, you know, so I know that he would be very proud, you know, that you wrote this book, you know.
Thank you.
I think this is going to be a very big book in the franchise community. So what advice would you give to our listeners then, Joel, right now? I mean, listening, you know, they have this idea that they might want to buy a franchise. So what would you say to them?
I would say that
in addition to buying the book.
You know, if they start by looking really, really hard at themselves, by taking a couple of days off, away from every electronic piece of equipment they have, and you know, have a little quiet time, and write down what they're good at, you know, write down maybe what some of their personal traits are, and start thinking in terms of what they can leverage in a business of their own. What are they really, really good at? And then they need to do a net worth statement, period. Don't guess. You know, there's that old saying. It's something like, if you don't know where you're at, how can you possibly find out where you're going to get? You know, it's you have to start at the beginning. What is your net worth?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a $300,000 net worth, minimum, probably $350,000 net worth, you probably shouldn't even be looking at franchises unless, you know, you have a spouse that works that can meet all your household expenses and more. And you know that, you know, that first year, it's going to be really tight. So make sure your net worth is high enough. Otherwise, you're just setting yourself up for disaster. Don, I mean, you're in the financial arena. Am I off there?
No, definitely. And even lending, which is obviously really tightened up, that's one thing we've always looked at is cash reserves. It's one thing just to have the money to invest in the franchise, but what's your cash reserves? You know, what's your yearly personal expenses?
Right.
You know, what happens? What happens if this doesn't work out after 2 years? All those things have to be considered, and you're right about having a net worth of at least a few hundred thousand, and a decent chunk of that has to be in just liquid cash.
Yeah.
So you have those reserves, and then lenders do look at outside income, and franchisors, they're doing their due diligence. So hopefully you have good credit or your credit's on the
way
up. And that you have, and that this is one aspect of your overall financial plan of what you want to do. Either you're a homeowner now or you want to be a homeowner. Things are a lot more expensive these days. I was thinking
that's
driving
right.
into work today, filling up my car with gas. I mean, really, things are almost like double what they really should be, unfortunately.
$40, $50. I mean, it's crazy.
If you're going to have a family
or have
a family and all that, it's just, you better... And this goes probably back to why certain franchise systems who aren't supposed to talk about when you're going to break even and when you're going to be profitable and all that, but, don't plan on, probably even just plan on not being profitable for a couple of years, even though there's a good chance of being profitable.
Quickly. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's true.
I like what you said, Joel, too, about, self-assessment, because I talk to my students a lot about that, because I think a lot of people don't know how to do that. I like how you say just kind of, shut everything off, shut the cell phones off, the internet. I mean, because
everything. There's
just so many distractions today, aren't there, to take a good, honest self-assessment, as far as what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you're not so good at. I think that's so important, and I guess if I had to guess, a lot of people don't do it, or they just don't know how to do it, to be able to just sit on a couch and just think, I think it's so important, there's so many distractions today. We had, I don't know if you heard the show from last week, Joel, but we had a veteran on the show, and his name was Sean Falk, and I know you had a blog at one time, because I
still
follow
do.
It, and you still do, okay, and it was on veterans. Do you still share the same opinion as far as veterans getting into franchising? You do, okay.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
You guys might have not read the latest post on the Franchise King blog, but yes, I do. It's about veterans. I've helped a few veterans get in business. I think that they, for the most part, can make excellent franchisees. I mean, excellent, probably the best. However, my experience is that 9 out of 10 veterans I've ever worked with have no money.
Right.
The ones that are returning right now from overseas, How could they have a nest egg built up? So if the lenders will step up and help them get financed, then we have a shot. Otherwise, it's blowing smoke. And if you read the post, you'll see what I mean. It's don't set these guys up for to get all excited about being business owners when they get back from Iraq and Afghanistan if it's never going to happen because they're not going to get financed.
And have the lenders put together real serious incentives. Maybe you only have to put 10% down. Don't require collateral.
Right.
Have a certain credit score. Have certain incentives where maybe on the back end they can pay back a little more. Maybe no payments on their loan for the first 3 or 6 months.
Creative.
I mean, put together, there's too much regulation. There's, when veterans call me for financing, I kind of cringe a little bit because I really want to help this person. And a lot of times, like you said, they just don't have the financing needed to get pre-qualified. Yeah,
they don't have it. So it's really frustrating for me to see the focus, being put on veterans right now from the IFA. And I even had an email back and forth with someone from the IFA about it, and they said that there's programs being put in place. But you know what? If the lenders in general are finding ways to say no. For people that have a nice net worth, that have, the assets, are they going to give veterans free money because they're veterans? I mean, I don't understand. There's a disconnect.
The franchisors are stepping up. They're discounting franchise fees and royalties and this and that. They're doing
If it's a $200,000 investment, so say, a small retail something.
Yeah.
And, you know, a dollar store, let's say. And the veteran comes to the table with, you know, $10,000,
right.
has a $125,000 net worth. Hello? I mean,
right, exactly.
What bank is going to finance that person? And mm-hmm. But I like your idea. Maybe there's something in the back end they can repay, you know, at a higher rate or something. But
yeah, like later on.
Something's got to
yeah.
be done.
Right.
Or else they're never going to get in business.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no such thing as free money.
Yeah. What's next for you then, Joel? I know you're going to be doing a lot of promotion for the book and things like that, but, you know, what's in the future for, like, 2012?
I think I'm going to be doing some franchise advisory calls a lot more with people after they
mm-hmm.
start reading the book. So I'm
yeah.
really looking forward to that. I'm hoping to get on the speaking circuit eventually. I have a couple ideas for that. And I plan on doing a lot more writing in a lot more places. As a matter of fact, there's a column that I wrote for CNBC.com that should be up any day. Just, you know, kind of some different places.
Right.
Get the word out and have some book giveaways. And I just want to have fun, and I just want to help people get in business the right way.
That's fantastic.
And help people, right.
Yeah, exactly. This is the mission of helping people. What's the best way for our listeners, Joel, to get the book? I know they can go to like Amazon.com, but do you want to plug any websites? I know there's a lot
sure.
of them.
Sure,
get
I have
access to the book.
A very simple and elegant website created just for the book. It's www.becomeafranchiseowner.biz.
.biz, okay, fantastic.
That's the one. That's the one.
All right, great. That's what we'll send our listeners. And I want to thank you again, Joel. We think you're great. We're big fans, and love to have you back again in 2012. So you'll be on our show for the fourth time. Actually, it's you and Michael Gerber are the only
oh,
ones
boy.
Who've been on our show three times. So
yeah.
you're in great company, by the way. You know,
thanks.
You're familiar with Michael Gerber.
Thanks for having
well,
me.
You know, and have a happy holiday as well,
you
Joel.
You too, guys.
We'll keep following. Thanks, Joel. Have
thanks,
a great
Joel.
Day.
Nice job.
All right,
take care.
Guys. You too.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So informative.
Right. Yeah. It's great talking with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have somebody who just, you know, really tells the whole story, you know, and,
right.
and speaks the truth, you know, and he's very passionate, you know, about franchising. He really believes in it, you know, and it's just fantastic. It was
helping
a great
people.
Show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So next week we have another great show, great Warren Gracious, right? I mean, he's fantastic as well. So you're going to have to get ready to get pumped up.
One of the greatest sales pros.
Very
and,
enthusiastic.
Right.
You know, we don't want to miss that show. So, God, we've had great shows, you know, over the last several months.
Yeah.
You know, it just keeps going on, you know. So great job today, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. What else? Franchiseworldradio.com, franchisefunding.net, and gofranchise.com. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Thanks, everyone, for listening.